136. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, who has prepared for those that love you such good things as pass man's understanding, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after Trinity is from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. This is the word of the Lord. Chapter of 1 Peter. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Thank you. Our sermon text is from Luke 5, verse 4. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On this Independence Day, we might want to remind ourselves about the difference between the church and the state. Although both the state and the church are gifts from God, he has given to them different means and purposes. In the church, God calls pastors to use the word and the sacraments in order to create and strengthen faith with the ultimate goal of providing eternal salvation. We know that the law is preached to produce repentance and sorrow over sin. And the gospel is preached to create trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. No one gets to heaven by doing good or being a good person. Salvation is a free gift. You are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, he being the one who has purchased your salvation. Now, the way things work in the state is quite different from the church. God has appointed the governing authorities to administer his left-hand kingdom. The government uses laws to demand behavior and uses the power of the sword to threaten compliance. Even in a free country like the United States of America, there are laws which are to be obeyed. And there are punishments for those who break those laws. The courts do not forgive citizens, and the people do not become or remain citizens by grace or by someone else's action. The purpose of the state is to maintain peace and protect body and possessions. It cares nothing about eternal truth or about salvation. Now, we know from experience that in this world, natural law is quite different from the ways of the church. And natural law is used by the state. So, St. Paul, he speaks of the world's way in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 when he says this, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Natural law is work dependent. Yes, you want to have a house and a car, you will need to work for it. And even when it comes to actions which we have towards others, the golden rule in Matthew 7, verse 12, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them." That phrase is not by grace. There is no mention of love or mercy. Similarly, in Exodus 21, it says, "But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." It's not grace. That's not mercy. In the law, it is simply tit for tat. In the state, we're only concerned with justice so that a man gets what he deserves, no more and no less. Although we find that, generally speaking, natural law in the world around us works, well, it works like that most of the time, it's not an ironclad deal. There are times that someone doesn't work and yet he eats. There are times when one person works harder than another, but the lazy one succeeds. Why does one person happen to hit it lucky and another just doesn't get a break? sometimes there are those, there are others who, in their manipulation, steal, harm others. We also know there is the miscarriage of justice by those in authority. Bribes and ignorance can, for a time, tip the scales in favor of the wicked. It's not an ironclad deal. At other times, it's simply a matter that the results that happen are caused maybe not by even other sinners. A hardworking man builds a business from the bottom up, provides for his family, works diligently, and then an unforeseen shutdown causes him to lose his business. Another's business wildly succeeds. One person simply doesn't have the ability to run a business, and it may be due to illness or accident. Others aren't born with the God-given intellect to perform differential equations or maybe to give eloquent speeches. We all don't have the same abilities. That is, we are not equal. The summary of all it is this. In the church, you don't get what you deserve. Where there is faith in Jesus, you receive forgiveness and eternal life. In the state and the world, there ought to be justice so that you get what you deserve, but it doesn't always happen. What are we to make of this situation? The other day I read a church sign which read, "God will do anything we allow Him to do." God will do anything we allow Him to do. According to that way of thinking, we are the masters of the universe. And God needs a signed permission slip from us before He can act. How ridiculous. So which human being gave God the permission to create the world? Which human being gave God permission to die on the cross for our sins? Religiously speaking, do we think that Saul gave God permission to knock him down with a bright light on the way to Damascus and blind him for 3 days? Or how about yourself? Did you give God permission to create you? Did you give Him permission to save you? In today's Holy Gospel, and by means of a miracle, our Savior reveals to Simon that He is God come in human flesh, and nothing is impossible with God. Now, Jesus does tell Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Nevertheless, Jesus is not unable to act without Simon's permission. No, Jesus can and does whatever He wants. Now, of course, Jesus uses Simon's boat. He uses a net. He uses some fishermen to catch enough fish to sink 2 boats. However, Jesus isn't dependent upon those means. Jesus could have caught the fish in shallow water. He could have done it with bait and poles. He could have simply directed the fish to jump out of the water and jump right into the boats. That previous night, the fishermen had attempted to harvest to catch a fish, but they came up empty. This time, they catch more than they can keep. So I tell you, who really is in control? Or do we think that Simon, James, and John, do we think they just did it wrong the night before? But now, in the middle of the day, they have made the perfect cast at just the right place and at just the right time, and thus it results in a full net. You say that the later fishing was different. Well, I agree. But what about the night before? Does that mean that the night before it was all luck and chance? Or was it all due to Simon's skill and ability and fishing experience? I tell you that in both instances, God was in control. God says in Psalm 50, verse 10 and 12, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." Everything belongs to God, and He does whatever He pleases. Job learned rather quickly, chapter 1, verse 21, when he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, like Simon, we are all directed to work, and maybe to work with God. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that we are the one that makes the difference, or that somehow God needs our diligence, our effort, or our permission for there to be success. Psalm 127, 1 and 2. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep." We are not to sit around and wait for the fish to jump in the boat. God desires us to work. Simon and his partners, James and John, they labored all night with their nets and they caught nothing. They weren't sinning. No, as if they called in sick and they're out there fishing. No, they were fishermen, professional fishermen. That's their vocation. They were doing what God had told them to do, both the night before and in the middle of the day, the next day. At both times, God desired that they should be fishing. 1 Thessalonians 4, 10 through 11. "But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, as we commanded you." That is the desire of God, that we work. In fact, I already quoted 2 Thessalonians 3, "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." So what are we to make of this state of affairs? We are to know that God does not want to give us the blessings of this world without our work. And yet our work is not the cause of what we receive. You see, when we receive, it is always the result of God's abundant blessing. As Christians, we have to learn, "The eyes of all look to You, O Lord. You give them their food at the proper time. You open Your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Psalm 145. "Nevertheless, our work is necessary." Why? Because God, having commanded it, has set it up. It's the means by which we receive His blessings. So, when we labor all night and nothing comes of it, we learn that we are not in control, nor can we pry a penny from the creation of God's hand unless He gives us His permission. Though our God commands us to work, He does not want us to rely upon or trust in our work. Psalm 9, verse 16, "The Lord is known by the judgment of He executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands." The wicked trusts in his own work, and thus it's a snare. It catches him. Like Simon Peter, we may be experts in fishing or some field of business or knowledge, and yes, we should use our best judgment to plan and to work, but we're not to trust in our calculations. Should the Lord ask us to put out into the deep for a catch, we must learn that He is the Creator of all things. If we fall into trouble, we call upon Him for help. If we succeed, we give him thanks. Psalm 21, the king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation. How greatly should he rejoice? So I have been a pastor for 30 years. I have preached over 2,000 sermons and led many more Bible classes and Bible studies. I do not have a clue when and where the Holy Spirit will work. I just don't know. You sleep through my best sermons, but praise me for the hastily thrown together ones. I say something and you praise me, and yet another man accuses me of all kinds of sin in order to avoid the law. Another person is grief-stricken and repentant when I just use an illustration and it reminds him of his sin. I didn't intend it. One person hears the gospel and asks, is that all there is? Another person is comforted when I preach that good news of Jesus' forgiveness as if I had given them $1 million. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 6 says this, in the morning you sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. We are to know that God desires all men to be saved. That much is true. Furthermore, we know that the word and sacraments are necessary. They are set up because God, having commanded it, he has set it up as his means by which we receive spiritual blessings. Simon learns that by God's word, men come to a knowledge of their sins. By that same word, they hear the absolution, do not fear, and Jesus forgives. And so in today's text, it's somewhat ironic that Simon, who didn't learn the lesson while Jesus taught the crowds by the boat, instead, Simon learns it by means of a catch, so large it almost sunk both boats and killed them. And if that weren't enough, Jesus calls Simon to catch men by preaching the word to men, many of whom who refused to believe. So tell me again, who is in control? Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143. Let us pray to the Lord. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you use the hearing of your word to create and strengthen our faith in your Son, the one who forgives our sins and declares us to not be afraid of his holiness. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, gather sinners into your church by that foolish message of the cross. Catch men alive from the deep, chaotic waters of miracle seekers and worldly wisdom, and bring them into the safety of your church. Use your people to bear witness to that message by their hearing and godly living. Continue to strengthen by your absolution our Bishop James and our pastors Michael and Gary, so that they may not be concerned with their own spiritual unworthiness, but would use the word to save men. We bring to you our Director Keeley, our teachers, assistants, support staff, those who volunteer in taking care of the children and maintaining the facility, those who give financial and prayer support, and for those who serve on the Board of Education. For the enemies of the church, for those who would hinder our Lord's divine mission, we ask, dear Lord, that their hearts might be turned to you, the God of mercy and compassion. Let us pray to the Lord. We bring before you our President Joe, the Congress of the United States, our Governor J.B., state legislators, our Mayor Steve, city officials, all our judges. We ask that they would act wisely and responsibly, and that they would carry out their, and that we would carry out our duties as citizens. We bring before you the soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors, and special forces, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, as well as our police officers, Daniel and Alex, those who put their lives in harm's way in order to defend our freedoms. And we ask that you would protect them from all danger and lift their spirits during times of trial. For those who are mentally challenged and the institutions which serve them, we ask that through these agency of mercy, their needs of mind, body, and soul might be met. Equip them to live as disciples in your steadfast love, and for the mentally ill and those who are suicidal, we ask that they may be received and sustained by the body of Christ as it offers the water of life to allay their suffering. Let us pray to the Lord. Be with our shut-in Carolyn, our elderly Violet and Verdell. Provide for those of various needs for Caitlin and Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Gibb, Howard and Stan, Demi and Tony, also with the seminarians, Benjamin and Jacob, as their summer classes come to a close. We also ask that you would be with the family of Donna at her passing. She trusted in you. Let them be comforted by the resurrection of our Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, praising his victorious resurrection from the dead. We draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right unto you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord God of Israel, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy upon those you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us do in His own testament. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
Over a wall. It is God.
did not live. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. The Lord.
May the true body and blood strengthen the earthly body and soul of the life of the last.
Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
us with the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.